You're listening to the Limitless Broadcasting Network.
Hi, this is Ryan Lambert from the Monster Squad, and you are listening to You Can't Kill the Boogeyman.
What's your favorite scary movie?
What's the boogeyman?
You hang up on me again, I'll gut you like a fish, understand?
It's showtime.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to You Can't Kill the Boogeyman podcast. We are your hosts. I'm Robbie.
And I'm Sammy.
And a couple announcements. We will be at Mad Monster.
Meaning me.
I will be at Mad Monster this weekend. Not this weekend, but next weekend.
Well, by the time this comes out, this show is going to be over.
Okay, so... Oh, it will?
Yep.
Okay. So,
we were previously at Mad Monster.
So, where will we be next?
Well, most likely Fanboy. At the end of September.
Yes, Fanboy in Orlando.
The Orlando Orange County Convention Center.
You know what days?
You don't know the dates?
Fanboy.
I have to do everything.
No, you don't.
You know that. It's okay.
Fanboy Orlando.
I'll pull up my calendar that I
September
share with you.
26th to the 28th.
Yes.
39 days to be exact.
Okay, apparently.
And 39 days, 22 hours, 58 minutes, and 15 seconds.
And the weekend right after that, October 3rd, 4th, and 5th, we will be in Tampa.
At Scaradice,
yes.
One of our favorite
shows. Newly named Spookala.
Yeah, it was Spookala. Now they renamed it to... Scaradice.
Yes. So same con. Very excited about it. Can't wait.
We will have all of our new Dexter merch there.
Yeah, new Dexter stuff.
I have not promoted that yet, but we will soon be doing that on our social media. So if you're not following Limitless Broadcasting or the Boogeyman Pod, shame on you. You should correct that now and follow us.
Yeah, check out our Instagram.
Stay up to date on what's going on with us and what we have to offer.
Yeah.
Plus, new programming is coming to our streaming platform, limitlessbroadcastingnetwork.com. Roku channel is in development, and it's coming soon. Working on a smart TV app as well. That's coming soon as well. So this show will be on our platform. A lot of our celebrity interviews will be on our subscription platform. So if you like the Monster Squad, I know a lot of you do that listen to this show. You can listen to Andre's and Ryan's interview. Actually see the video by subscribing.
Yeah, Doug Jones will be on there.
Tyler Mane. Will be on there.
Yes. Yeah.
So Bunch. James.
Yep,
James, A.K.A. Jimmy. Clem.
Clem, yep.
Will be on there. Leonora Shelfo. The very first interview we've done.
We did, yes.
Well, she will be on there as well. Big shout out to her.
Yeah.
She has a con coming up on the 30th in North Carolina.
Yeah.
For a day. But I looked into going, but it was only a day. It's literally from... 10 to 5. And Sammy was like, what are you thinking about doing? That's a 9-hour drive for us.
I don't think I said it exactly that way.
But the only reason I actually thought about going up there was because of the Leonora and the bathroom girl and
Nancy
Ritter.
It's a very far drive for us.
Yeah, and I'm not sure being a vendor there would be beneficial since it's only literally 5 hours.
Yeah. So, well, you said it's what? 10 to...
10 to 5. Yeah, so 5...
7 hours.
7 hours, I'm sorry. So...
Yeah.
But yeah, big shout out to her.
We'll
definitely have her on again. But yeah, Emma...
Caulfield.
Caulfield is going to be a guest on our show on the 30th, actually.
Yeah, so...
Very excited about that.
Well, this episode should be out. Let's see. So I'll have... Yeah, so this upcoming Saturday, we'd be recording with her.
Yeah.
Yeah, so... That'll be very exciting. That'll be out on with the Pixie Dust Twins.
Yeah, that's going to be a crossover show from Robbie Reviews, the Boogeyman Pod, the Pixie Dust Twins. Mm-hmm. Very for all you Buffy fans out there, definitely tune into that one.
Yes.
So, but yeah, today we have a not so good show. So
that Robbie's new thing is to just say all of our shows suck since. He always says it's great.
Yeah. Everybody is like, oh, you're always saying your shows are great. Now I'm just like, they're terrible.
It may not be great. I'm sorry.
So it is what it is. Yeah. So if you choose to subscribe, thank you.
Yeah, for listening to our crappy content.
That's exactly right. No.
Much appreciated.
It's, no. We have a very cool show for you.
Yeah.
It's one of my actually favorite movies.
Yeah.
One of my favorite movies that I like to watch on repeat because, you know, I could be doing other things like that in the background. I could be editing, whatnot, what have you. But today we are talking about I Still Know What You Did Last Summer.
Yes.
1998.
Yeah, the sequel to I Know What You Did Last Summer.
Yes.
Yes.
So if you've not checked out our episode, I Know What You Did Last Summer, definitely check that out.
Yeah.
Let us know what you think of that.
Mm-hmm. And then listen to this one.
And share it with a friend. Helps
sharing
our
is caring.
Exactly. Helps our platform out.
Mm-hmm. It does.
And while you're listening to this, head over to our website and buy some scary merch.
We have lots
of cool shirts.
Cool.
We have Buffy.
Lots and lots of Buffy stuff.
That's we're going to have Dexter stuff.
Dexter's coming, like you said, very soon.
We have the Monster Squad for all you Monster Squad fans out there.
Lots of Monster Squad stuff.
We have Michael Myers.
Jason.
Freddy. We have a lot of stuff. So it's limitlessbroadcastingnetwork.com or Limitless Broadcasting. You could go the same place. So check us out.
Yes.
Anyway.
All right, so this movie.
I still know what you did last.
I still know what you did
last summer.
Yep, this one came out November 13, 1998. So, our plot. The murderous fisherman with a hook is back to once again stalk the two surviving teens, Julie and Ray, who had left him for dead, as well as cause even more murder and mayhem, this time at a posh island resort.
Okay.
So we have a lot of taglines for this one. Some secrets will haunt you forever. Yeah, nice generic, you know. Someone is dying for a second chance.
And that's a good one. I do like that one.
Yeah, I don't think that's a bad one. I Still Know.
That's not bad.
I mean, yeah. The sequel that will hook you again. I like that.
Yeah, that's good.
The hook thing. The story continues. I mean, okay.
Okay.
Yeah, it does. Get hooked again. Back to the hook. The man with the hook is back. And this time, he's really mad.
Is that it?
Yeah. No, I have two more. Some people never forget. And it's happening again.
It's happening again.
Yeah. So some good ones and some, like, whatever. So, our cast. Jennifer Love Hewitt is back again as Julie. Freddie Pinch Jr. is back as Ray. Brandy is in this one as Carla.
She was a good addition.
I liked Brandy in this, yeah. Mekhi Pfeiffer.
I'm sorry for you Mekhi Pfeiffer fans out there.
Please don't come for me.
Shame on us.
I'm sorry. Mekhi Pfeiffer. He's Tyrell.
He was in a movie called Paid in Full.
Sure.
Damon Dash's
seen that.
Film debut.
I've never seen that.
For all you Paid in Full fans.
So I'm sorry, Mekhi. Apparently I'm a bad non-fan of yours. So
Was Mekhi Pfeiffer. Even Eminem rapped about him.
Did he?
Yeah.
Okay. Well. Muse Watson is Ben Willis, aka the fisherman. Bill Cobbs is Estes. Matthew Settle is Will Benson. Jeffrey Combs is Mr. Brooks. Jennifer Esposito is Nancy. John Hawks as Dave. Ellerin as Olga.
Estes. He actually passed away this year.
Well, that's sad. We had to bring the entire show
and
down.
I'm just movie facts. That's why you tune into us.
Benjamin Brown is Derek the Dockhand. Jack Black is Titus.
He's uncredited.
I don't know why he'd be uncredited.
Because he got to fly to an island.
So does that mean he didn't get paid to do it? I'm confused. Why would he be uncredited when he has active lines and he's named?
Yeah, he does active things in the movie.
Is he uncredited?
I actually don't know.
Okay. Well, then Sarah Michelle Gellar as Helen is uncredited because they just use a photo of her. Well, see, that one I understand is uncredited.
I'm assuming they still have to pay her, though.
Because her photos.
Because they're using her likeness. And whatever agreement she said she signed, I'm sure she still gets royalties.
So she's probably like, make as many of these as you want. Just use my photo and all of them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I don't blame her. So box office. This film made $16.5 million from 2,400 theaters during its opening weekend. It finished second behind The Waterboy.
Oh, okay.
So that came out the same week.
Since this is 98, mm-hmm. Welcome back to 98.
Yep.
The Waterboy.
Yes.
You can do it. Continue.
Good Lord. At the end of its 15-week run, the film grossed $40 million in the United States, and worldwide it earned $84
million. Okay.
So ratings, 4.8 out of 10 on IMDb. People did not like this. 29%. Popcorn meter on Rotten Tomatoes, and then a 3.7 out of 5 on Google.
Man, ratings. They butchered this movie.
People are like, this is garbage.
They
I don't like it.
Butchered this.
So people do not like your favorite movie. So body count. Dave stabbed by Ben. Derek slashed by Ben. Olga slashed and stabbed by Ben. Titus stabbed by Ben. Mr. Brooks stabbed by Ben, but we didn't see it. It was off screen. Tyrell stabbed by, do you have a guess? Ben. Estes stabbed by
Ben.
Will.
Oh,
almost.
Yes.
You almost had it that time. So close. Nancy stabbed by Ben, and William stabbed by Ben. So there you go.
Because he killed him accidentally.
Yeah, I mean it wasn't on purpose, but oops.
Mekhi Phifer to stab him.
But oops, he's done.
And stabbed Ben.
So, trivia. Scheduling conflicts with the Dawson's Creek, your favorite Dawson River kids, the faculty, Halloween H2O 20 years later, and then also because he was gearing up to direct teaching Mrs. Tingle, prevented Kevin Williamson from writing the screenplay for this film and Scream 3.
So. Have you ever seen Teaching Mrs. Tingle?
I don't think so.
It has the main star from, it has the kid from Seventh Heaven. He walked by our booth. We talked, he tried to be incognito at a 90s con.
Yeah, and okay.
What was his name?
I've never seen,
I want to say Ben, but.
No.
But,
I hate when you ask me these questions, because I would know this if we were just like, casually
talking, but when we record, you're like, what the, what?
And then you put a name out there, and then I'm just like, now I can't remember.
That can't be right.
Barry. Yeah, Barry Watson.
Barry.
Because I used to be obsessed with him.
Yeah, he walked by our booth at 90s Con in Connecticut, and he was trying to be incognito, and I was like, nope, get over here.
Anyway.
Like Scorpion, get over here.
I have not seen that movie. Sorry.
We'll review that movie on the show.
Okay, sure. So this sequel actually outperformed the original at the box office with a total of $16.5 million, as we said, in the opening weekend, compared to the first film, which made $15.8 in the opening weekend. But that being said, this film experienced a harsh drop-off the following weekends after word of mouth spread, and it ended up only grossing the $84 million, whereas the first one made $125.3 million.
So the first one still outperformed this one.
Yes. It was still considered a box office success nonetheless because of its $24 million budget, which was only slightly higher than the first film, which was $17 million. And then that's how they greenlit a third film, which languished in development hell for years until it was finally made as a direct-to-video sequel. I'll always know what you did last summer with none of the original cast, and we will not be talking about that.
And why do you think they went direct-to-video? Because this, keep in mind, we're in 98 now.
Well, this is 98, but yes. The direct-to-sequel would have been early 2000s then, right?
But still, DVDs are still popping off. That part of Hollywood was still growing.
That's what I was going to say.
It had a big revenue stream for the studios.
They're hoping you'll go rent it from that, Blockbuster at the end.
That's
of the day.
Why Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen did so many videos to direct-to-video, is because they were just making so much money.
Yeah. So, when Julie, Carla, Tyrell, and Will first arrive at the resort, Will's true nature is foreshadowed as they walk around the fountain. Everyone goes around the right path to get around it, except for Will, who goes the opposite on the left, as the soundtrack That Girl plays. One of these things just doesn't belong here.
Dun, dun. Wow.
Yeah, and that's the only trivia I have for this. There wasn't a lot of trivia, probably because people hate it, clearly, so...
I did not hate this movie.
I don't hate it. I mean, I feel like it's very 90s. The problem is, this came out in 98,
yes. Right?
So, okay, clearly there was a word of mouth where people were like,
there's no internet,
they
really.
They didn't like it. But there was word of mouth where people were not really as into it as the first one, and it is what it is with the sequel. But now there's the internet. So right. Everyone can go on IMDb and be like, this is stupid. But
this was made for a different genre of people.
Yeah, I mean, it's... Is it as good as the first one? That's up to you to decide, right?
You know, I like both of them, but I kind of like this one a little bit better.
Now, why do you like this one better?
Because I like the location. Don't get me wrong. I like Sarah Michelle Gellar, but I liked the cast. I thought Brandy was good. I thought Mekhi Phifer was good. Mm-hmm. I thought even Jack Black popping up, being like the weed guy, being like, you know, here's a cameo. Mm-hmm. I thought everything worked in this. It just had a... It felt like it was a more complete story.
Okay.
It just... You know, they're out of... Get this call. Hey, what's the capital of Rio?
I mean, they did a lot of setup. It was capital of Brazil.
Brazil.
And they got it wrong.
Brazil, yeah.
They didn't realize until they were at the resort, but they didn't win because they got it wrong, but they still were like, oh, good job, you won the prize, because it was a setup.
Have you ever actually won anything from a radio station?
I've never called to try and win anything from a radio
station. So I was in Indianapolis, and I was driving along. Here's a story for you guys. And I was like, I want to hear 50 Cent Disco Inferno remix. No, it's Out of Control remix with Mobb Deep. And I was like, let me call 96.3 in my car. Call him up. Hey, you're our 10th caller. You win. That's always been on my bucket list, to just call a radio station and win. I won $100.
For nothing?
For nothing.
I was just accidentally calling?
Yeah, I was
Did you ask for your song?
And I was like, yeah, you won. I was like, shut up. I won. They were like, no, you shut up. And I was like, no. And I was like... Well, since I have your attention, can you play...
You also play this 50 Cent song I actually called about.
Play this song? And she was like, yep, absolutely. But I remember talking to everybody about that. But the reason why I bring that up is when you win something from the station, you have to go down to the headquarters and sign a bunch of paper.
Yeah.
Like, they're not just like, oh, let me fly you here. You have to do tax information. You have to do a bunch of...
Even for $100?
Yeah, 100. And then I was registered to I was in a drawing to do a $10,000 drawing. Mm-hmm. If they pulled my name, I could win 10 grand, but clearly I never won that.
No.
But I won the $100.
That's something.
Can you imagine if you won a trip... You would have to go down there. You'd have to sign all the paperwork. There's legalities. Mm-hmm. They're not just going to be like, oh, here are your plane tickets.
Here's the tickets, which is what happened here.
Right.
Essentially, yes.
And that's the point I'm bringing up here.
Also, I mean, watching this now, obviously the radio is still a thing. But
in 98, yeah.
Now. You can still listen to the radio.
Yeah.
And you can still call in and you can still win stuff. But I do feel like that's like an old person thing now to do. So, you know, a millennial, Gen Xer, boomer, would call into the radio station, probably more like Gen X and millennial. I don't know if like Gen Zers or the newer generations are going to be calling into the radio to win stuff.
Well, you listen to more of the morning radio shows than I do.
Yes.
Who are the people that call in? Is it the older?
No, they're older. Okay. I mean, yeah, they're like clearly millennials, maybe elder Gen Zers, but yeah, I feel like it's millennials and Gen Xers the most that I hear.
Okay.
On the radio.
I'm sure. So. I don't listen to the radio at all.
Mm-hmm.
I listen to podcasts. I listen to iTunes. Whatever artists I'm listening, I'm still bumping things from 15 years ago. All the new stuff, I'm just like, eh, I've heard it. But
I don't listen to a lot of new stuff.
I'm in my own little bubble.
Yeah.
But with this one, I agree with you. I don't think a lot of millennials or Gen Zs are going to call into the radio. So
no, so I think that ages this film. Not in a bad way, but I think it does. But, I mean, I don't know. I mean, the premise is
funny
because they get there and it's already stupid because they're just like, well, this is the off season.
Yeah.
Nobody comes here because of all the
They get there the day before it's hurricane season.
Yeah.
And then they're like, what do you mean? Because the island is dead.
Yeah, there's nobody there. There's barely workers.
Yeah, they're like, this is the off season.
Yeah.
So Ben or Will pay the bartender. So they go in the night. They settle down. Then they all meet up at the karaoke place.
Mm-hmm.
And they're having some dark and stormy. And Julie gets up there and she's singing I was petrified.
Mm-hmm.
First I was afraid. I was petrified.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Couldn't live that song. And then the bartender hits. I still know what you did last summer. And then she starts freaking out.
Mm-hmm.
And when they get to the island, we should mention that there was a massacre in that room that they are put in.
Mm-hmm.
And the manager checking them in, they're in like, oh, you're in room 202. And he kind of hesitates.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably the wrong room. But the contest winners, you're in room 102 and 203.
Right.
And he's like, you can tell that something bad happened. Then he was like, oh, no, that's our honeymoon suite.
Right.
He tries to change
play
it.
Off. Yeah.
But if you're ever checking in and somebody's like, oh, you're in that room, you should automatically be like, I want the next room.
Yes. Not a good sign.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So from there, chaos ensues.
Yeah.
People start going missing.
Well, and who gets put in Julie's closet?
The maid.
That's right. Yeah.
The maid is going by.
They did the same thing they did to her in the last movie with the car where, you know, dude was in her trunk.
Yes.
And then she brings everybody in. They're suddenly not there.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Cleans that up real quick. Come here. And then.
Mm-hmm.
But that means he had to clean that up real quick.
Mm-hmm.
If you actually time it out, because they're at the pool, and it's Julie's friend, Brandy, Mekhi Phifer, and Will.
Mm-hmm.
They're at the pool hanging out.
Mm-hmm.
They're having a great time. Julie's in the room. She runs in, and she's like, oh, it's happening again. And then everybody goes in to her room.
And we should probably mention where Ray was.
See, one thing I really like about this movie is they did bring back the original cast.
Yeah, so Ray and Julie are together.
Right.
But having issues.
So she won the contest. Ray, it's over the 4th of July weekend. Ray wanted her to come back to their hometown.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's a fisherman captain. He has his own boat. He's like, you know, it's fun. We can go to the bar, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
And she still gets creeped out about it.
Yeah, which...
Thank you, I want to say Billy, but it's not Billy. It's Ryan Felipe's character in the first one. He's like, you're never going to talk about this.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's weirded out, but she's like, no, I'm going to the Bahamas. But to be honest with you, can you understand that? Like, if you got a chance to go to the Bahamas, I would be like, I'm going to the Bahamas.
Yeah.
I've never been.
Yeah. I would have done go back home. Yeah,
I would have done some research about it. Like, mm-hmm. oh, when are peak times to go? Mm-hmm. When are not times to go? All of that info. But in this movie, clearly nobody does that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So they get there. They're hanging out. All the boats have been. So there's only they're at this island where you have to boat in.
Yeah.
On and off the island.
It's like a ferry.
It's like a ferry.
Yeah.
And since it's the off season and it's hurricane season, there's a storm approaching. So we forgot to mention that Ray and his friend were going to surprise Julie at the island. Mm-hmm. So they start driving down. And then him and Ray's friend and him get into a wreck. And it's Ben... Mm-hmm. That like messes him up, attacks him, everything.
Kills his friend.
So Ray ends up in the hospital. They're like, oh, they're checking him out. He's like on the second floor of the hospital. And then the doctors go in there when he's at the hospital. They're checking him out. They're like, oh, he was ranting about this guy, Ben Willis, mm-hmm. about the hook and everything. We didn't find anything. The cops and the doctors just thought it was a drunken wreck. Mm-hmm. So they go into his room, they're checking him out, and then they like literally leave. And then you hear this beep, this flatline, mm-hmm. and he bolts out.
Ben left. Ray left. Yeah.
Goes to a pawn store to pawn the ring that he was going to give to Julie mm-hmm. to get a gun.
Yep.
And he heads to the island.
Yep.
So when all hell is breaking loose. In this island, mm-hmm. O'Day, or the guy that played O'Day, Ostis, mm-hmm. he knew what was going on. He saw Ben killing people on the island and everything like that, and he did hoodoo or voodoo, and so he started stealing things from everybody.
Right, yeah.
To do like a protection spell. Mm-hmm. And they walked into his room, and they're like, oh, you're the killer.
Yeah, they think he's the problem.
But the thing about it is he's like, he tells them, I don't know the capital of Brazil right off the top of my head, but he points that out to Julie, mm-hmm. and he is like, yeah, you fucked up. You're not even supposed to be here, and you didn't know it.
Right.
What is the capital? Look that up for a second.
I don't know.
You knew I was going to ask you that. The capital of Rio, or Brazil.
What is the capital of Brazil? Brasilia.
They said it was I don't know. I can't remember. Brazil? I think they said Brazil. In the movie.
When they gave the right answer?
When they give the answer in the movie.
They said Rio.
They said yeah. Rio. They were like, oh, it's Rio. Because they pull out the coffee. And they're like, oh, what's the capital? And they're like, Rio. And
that's
the guy,
what they said, and, but it was wrong.
But it's wrong. Mm-hmm. And so Ostis is like, oh, you guys basically fucked up. You guys shouldn't be here. And, you know, they find all them their stuff. Mekhi Phifer in this scene, they're running around trying to hide from this, and we're really kind of just summarizing this movie. You definitely should go out and watch this, but he steals his stuff back, and he ends up, they're hiding in, it's Mekhi Phifer, it's Brandy and Jennifer Love Hewitt, Julie, mm-hmm. and they're like, oh, they're hiding from Ben, and he's like, oh, are you guys, let's find the kitchen. They're like, why? He's like, I'm fucking hungry. Mm-hmm. So they go in there, and then they find the bartender because she's hiding in there too. And since he took his necklace back from Ostis, Ben.
Estes.
What?
Estes. Isn't his name Estes? Yeah.
Ben Willis ends up hooking him in the kitchen. He gets hooked in the throat. Mm-hmm. And then all panic pursues and everybody's running. And I think that's when Ray shows up, because they drag her out and mm-hmm. she finds out that Ben is actually Will's actually Ben's son.
Yeah. When did the bartender get killed? Wasn't it earlier in the movie?
No, she was hiding. She never got killed.
Are you sure?
She made it out.
Did we say she made it out?
Yeah, she made it out. The bartender?
Why did I think she died?
Because she helped him out in the beginning. Yeah, she...
Isn't Nancy the bartender? She dies. Isn't that who... Now you're going to be confused, because I haven't seen this movie as much as you, so shouldn't you know this?
I am fairly certain...
No, she dies. She is Nancy. She dies in this movie.
Okay, so when did...
Stabbed. Right there. That was in my trivia.
So she must crazy. Have died in the... refrigerator, too.
That's what I was trying to remember.
Yeah, so...
I've only seen this movie like
Mekhi Phifer and Nancy die in the... in her hiding place.
Because... Let me see. See, now you're getting me confused.
I'm sorry for all the listeners out there getting everybody confused, but... Mm-hmm. We're going to fact check this real quick. Yeah, I think they're hiding.
So, Nancy watches in horror alongside Carla and Julius. Tyrell is murdered by the fishermen, leaving them to flee as he pursues. She leads the group to a storage attic where Ben had a clear view of Julie's bedroom. Ben breaks through the attic door and advances on Carla, who becomes stuck with her foot in the attic ground. She is released. Ben falls on top of her and straight through the window, landing on Julie's suite. And then Carla is pushed out onto the balcony by Ben, and she jumps. And then Nancy obtains the keys to the greenhouse. That's right, because they go in the greenhouse.
That's right.
After being being convinced by Julie, attempts to save Carla, but in vain, because Julie uses an axe to break the small portion of the door window when Nancy fails to find the right key. Yeah, I remember that now, when she's, like, running up there.
Yeah.
So then they stumble into a seating room where Will walks in and is seemingly injured with heavy boots, and then Nancy heads to the lobby to get the first aid kit. She watches Estes as he's impaled with a stick. He falls on her, pinning her to the ground. Nancy struggles to push Estes off as Ben appears from behind and pushes the paddle
through
his chest into her. Yeah, yes, I was like, I can see her on the ground. That's why I was like, she didn't make it.
I'm sorry. For some reason, I got her confused, and I thought she made it. At this time, this is when they figure out they've been working together. They're bringing them. Ben and Will dug a grave for Julie on the other side of the island, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're bringing her to her, bringing her to the grave, and they're going to kill her there. And then Ray mysteriously, magically pops
appears.
Up and appears right at the last minute and shoots Ben Willis. Mm-hmm. Boom, boom, boom. And seamlessly saving the day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What did you think about what Jennifer Love Hewitt was wearing in the film? She was wearing like a button-up shirt with a black bra underneath.
I mean...
Is that what you would be wearing if somebody was chasing you?
They don't put them in outfits that make sense for these horror movies.
No, I agree. Absolutely.
I mean, honestly. They're going to put Jennifer in whatever... That's probably the most they could maybe get her to agree to, because probably otherwise she's like, this is stupid.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, that's what horror movies do.
Yeah. I mean, we've basically kind of skimmed this movie for you. Mm-hmm. We didn't go as detailed as Weapons. But...
I mean, overall, yeah, it's very 90s. I like Brandy.
Brandy was a good addition to it.
Yeah, I'm not going to complain seeing her in a movie.
Yeah, she was really popping back in 98.
Mm-hmm.
She had other movies. I mean, she had Brandy. She had her albums out.
Mm-hmm.
Brandy and That Boy Is Mine.
Monica.
With Monica. They had their little beef going back on, and
now
on and off.
Now they're touring together.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
That's a thing now. Yeah.
Now they're best friends.
They've always been friends.
I bet they, exactly. I bet they were always friends.
Yeah, they said there was no beef. They just did the song.
Well, didn't the media say Jennifer Love Hewitt and Sarah Michelle Gellar did not like each other?
Yes, which they have also denied.
So they've done that a lot,
too. I don't know that they're best friends, but that's okay. You don't have to be besties with people just because you're on a movie with them.
Right. You do the movie, you do the project, and then you go home.
I think that's the problem, is they're just like, everyone to be bestest of friends, and it's like, that's not really how that works.
Oh, you didn't go to the club bottle popping with this lady?
Right.
What's wrong with you?
It's whatever, but... Yeah, but yeah, I mean, it's a fun sequel.
What would you rank this movie?
I mean, probably like a 7.
I would probably give it an 8.
Yeah?
Yeah, because I thought it was entertaining. I liked the story.
You liked the setting.
I liked the setting.
At least it was different, right? They went to a new place.
Can you imagine going there, though? Like, filming down there in the Bahamas, how cool that would be?
Mm-hmm.
That would just be, like, really cool.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they got... What did you say the budget was? Like 80?
$24 million, I think.
$24 million? You can definitely afford to bring everybody to the Bahamas.
Right. To film.
To film.
Yeah. And it's good that they tried to bring back the two surviving characters and try and evolve their storyline. Because, I mean, I feel like it would make sense if they weren't together, or the way they did do it where they are together, but it's not... the greatest.
Yeah.
You know, because that's a lot of trauma they went through.
Yeah.
As, like, teenagers, so.
So.
You know.
This is the second one. Do you wish they would have not killed Sarah Michelle Gellar's character, Helen?
I mean, I guess they could have kept her alive, but it's a horror movie. Someone has to die.
Yeah. No, I agree.
And Sarah was it. You know? So.
I know in the script, when they're reading the script, they're like, oh, your character dies.
Mm-hmm.
Dead, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, oh, man, I really wanted to.
But, I mean, they put her picture in it. So.
Yeah. So
they did something.
This means Jennifer Love Hewitt was the first, one of the first final girls.
Yeah, but she didn't continue to take roles like this because she didn't want to be a scream queen.
Right.
That's what she had said.
Right.
She wanted to be diverse and not roped into it.
What do you think about that?
It makes sense because you want to show your diversity so you have a
range
of choices. And then if you want to go back to doing a horror movie, then it's not like you have to do it because that's the only thing people will call you for.
Right.
I mean, it's just like Jamie Lee Curtis. She was just like, let me go do some other shit for a while. And then she's like, yeah, I'll come back and I'll do the Halloween stuff because you may still enjoy it, but you have to put your distance in there.
Don't you think more people associate Jamie Lee Curtis for horror?
I know she said during her press tour for Freakier Friday, she's just like, I get asked the most about Halloween and Freaky Friday. So, those are her two.
And we will be covering that movie for Robbie Reviews.
Freakier Friday.
We just saw that. So, if you're not listening to Robbie Reviews, now's a good time to start.
Yeah, make sure you check out that episode for sure.
So, yeah, but this is a very cool movie. Very 90s feel.
Yeah.
I mean, I think this movie is nostalgic.
Yeah, I really, that's a good term for it. Yeah.
I really like this. You know, Sammy loves Disney. I like horror movies. I grew up with horror movies. Scream, I Know What You Did Last Summer.
Mm-hmm.
That's nostalgia to me.
Yeah.
That's why I can watch this movie on repeat and be like, oh, enjoy it or get something new out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I give it a higher rating, because it's built for people in my demographic, my age group, my genre.
I mean, it's probably more for Gen Xers,
not for millennials
who were too young to be watching these movies. But
well, Gen Xers, millennials.
Elder millennials.
So, yeah. But if you have not seen this movie, definitely check it out. Very cool.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a slasher.
Yeah, it's a typical slasher.
Don't expect a lot from it. I mean, it doesn't have a lot of plot to it because it is what it is. It's a slasher movie.
Right. You know,
just go in with reasonable expectations.
Absolutely.
Yeah, lots of teen horniness in this, too.
Yes.
Especially from, I guess the only really horny character...
Even Mekhi Phifer says it out loud. I'm hungry and I'm fucking horny.
And was Tyrell.
Because
I'm trying to think, like, Because Julie was kind of just, you know, spazzing out about, like, she was not having the greatest time.
Yeah.
She was freaking out about everything. Ray was just stressed out. And Carla, Brandy's character, was, like, into it, but also just worried about her friend and just wanted to have fun.
Right.
And then I don't, you know, obviously...
Will was trying.
Will was kind of sketchy, as we learned.
But
so
Will was had alternative motives.
Yeah, so what you thought he was trying to get out of Julie was not the case. He just really wanted her dead.
He really wanted to kill her.
Poor Julie. So no wonder she's, like, psychologically messed up. So, yeah, it really was just Tyrell. So all the horniness is coming from Tyrell.
So
at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you can get past that, it's a great movie.
I don't think there's anything wrong with it. It's just very...
No, I agree. Yeah,
I mean, that's what teenagers do, so...
You know, I was actually at a con, and somebody was saying that Buffy, like... The show was too adult for their young kids.
Young kids?
Like,
yes.
12, 13.
I mean,
I was like, okay. I just thought that was interesting.
I would say, like, yeah, mid to older teens should be fine to watch it.
He's like, I've seen it before, but the way Willow's character... was going and the plot lines
the
and everything.
Gay thing or the witch thing?
I think both.
Oh, okay.
He was mostly like the sex stuff.
Well,
and then I was like, okay.
I don't know why you put that on Willow though, because at the end of the day, Buffy's character was way worse.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
They portrayed.
She was banging it out with everybody.
Yeah, Willow's, it wasn't until like season 6 with her and Tara that we even really got heavy allusions into it.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, Buffy, we just saw banging
everybody.
Whoever. Yeah.
Yeah.
Angel was not really that bad. But
that happened once.
Well, but then it was traumatic. But
Spike.
Definitely with Riley. And then when we got to Spike.
Yeah.
Whew, yeah. Then I would say, yes, definitely PG-13.
Stuff. And there was another guy from college.
Oh, yeah, the one-nighter.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess we kind of saw that, but I'm thinking of more of the graphics.
Oh, yeah,
stuff.
No,
like,
absolutely.
Riley, yes. Spike, yes.
But, yeah, I was like, that's very interesting.
I mean, if that's your choice, I guess.
No, I agree. Yeah. So, I bring that up because she is partially tied to this movie.
Ooh. I don't know if you all can hear the thunder.
But it's definitely raining.
Ominous right there.
Dark and ominous. Well, that is a good place to end the show.
Yes.
Thank you for checking it out. Definitely subscribe to the site, mm-hmm. limitlessbroadcastingnetwork.com. Mm-hmm. We got Buffy shirts. We got Monster Squad shirts. You name it, we got it. We got Ghostface shirts.
That's a Ghostface.
So,
yeah.
Thank you for tuning in. Remember, everybody's entitled to one good scare. And stay spooky out there.
Yep, we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
You Can't Kill the Boogeyman podcast is produced and hosted by Robbie and Sammy Brooksby as part of the Limitless Broadcasting Podcast Network. Post-production and intro by Sammy Brooksby. Follow the show on Instagram at BoogeymanPod. You can also follow the Limitless Broadcasting Company at Limitless Broadcasting and your horror hosts at Robert1950 Studios and at The Samalam. We also have a TikTok at 1950 Studios. Email your creepy comments and spooky suggestions to us at boogeymanpod@gmail.com. Don't forget, everyone is entitled to one good scare. Have a horrific week.